Blog Talk Radio.
Indeed, 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 we worship the Lord Jesus. We worship our Savior. We worship our Redeemer. We worship our Deliverer. We worship our Jesus, who is our all in all. Good morning, saints. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. I just received a call from Mary Rackmeyer early this morning, because Harvey and I meet every Friday at 10 a.m. for church service on the phone. And she called me, and just want to let you know that Harvey is being taken by ambulance to Cooperstown Medical Center. He has not been doing well for the last 2 weeks. And today he is extremely weak, and they are taking him to Cooperstown. So let's continue to pray for Harvey and Joyce Ten Eyck. Had her surgery, and yesterday I visited her, and she was eating and talking, and she was just having a great time. She looked in great spirits. For 95 years old, she is amazing, our sister Joyce Ten Eyck. We just had a great time yesterday together, and what an amazing woman of God. Amazing. So she's also in Cooperstown. And so Mary Rackmeyer is going to call me as soon as they get to Cooperstown and they find out what it is that our brother has. He's had 4 COVID tests, but COVID doesn't seem to show up. It's all been negative. There's been no positive reading of COVID. So Mary is stumped. She doesn't know what her husband has, but she's going to let me know today. So also we want to pray for our dear brother George Lynch, who is having some eye issues and is going to need eye surgery, and we want to keep him in prayer. So let's pray and pray for this Bible study today, this wonderful Bible study that we are in the midst of. Heavenly Father, we praise you, and we come to you in the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. We pray right now for Harvey Rackmeyer, who is in bed, very weak, can't basically function. And Lord, we just pray that when he gets to Cooperstown, they will find out what our dear brother has. We pray for his speedy recovery under the wonderful care of the doctors and nurses and staff there at that medical center. We pray for Joyce Ten Eyck. We thank you, Lord, that the operation was a success and that yesterday she was already eating and already meeting with her physical therapist. And in a few days, if everything goes well, she will go home. We thank you, Lord, for that victory. We pray for our dear brother, George Lynch. We pray, Lord God, for his situation. We pray, Lord, that you too would have respect unto him and turn to him as you did to all those who turned to you in faith and you healed them. We pray for a special miracle for George. We pray for Carl and Denise Rockefeller. We pray, Lord, for a special agency on their behalf, that you would move on their behalf, that you would deal with their health issues, Lord, in a speedy way. Lord, we also pray for tomorrow's bake sale, which is not just a bake sale, but it's a show of love. For one of yours, Bob Borsch, who spent a great deal of time in the hospital and has accrued a huge medical expense. We pray, Lord, that the bake sale tomorrow would be a success. We pray for Sunday school that's starting up this coming Sunday. What excitement, what jubilation. There's a buzz in the air about Sunday school and all that will be done this coming year. Lord, we just thank you for our Sunday school superintendent, our Sunday school leader. We thank you, Lord, for our Sunday school teachers. We thank you, Lord, for Grace Church and her continual Sunday school ministry, which first started in 1874. What a blessing, Lord. Bless us, O God, we pray. Lord, we pray, we pray, we pray for a special service this Sunday, that you would have your way, have your way this coming Sunday as we honor Shirley, Shannon, and Caroline Hayes. Oh, God, let your spirit be poured out among your people. May we feel your presence. May the singing and the preaching and all that is said and done be to your honor and glory, we praise, as we honor the faithful service of these sisters in Christ Jesus. Bless this study, O Lord, we pray, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen and amen. As our series title states, believers have not one thing to fear. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you, we have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing, nothing, nothing should spook you or me. Not one thing. You have nothing to panic about. You have nothing to dread. You should not be in any kind of distress. You should not be dismayed. You should not be anxious. You should not be worried. You should not be apprehensive. You should not fear anything. Why? Because the scripture states, the angel of the Lord, and we know who that is. That is none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he delivers them. Our job is to fear him. His job is to deliver us. That's how it works. That's how it works. We fear him. He delivers us. The verb to fear, that's the verb, that's the action word that is applied to us. We have a job to do, and our job is to fear. And then there's a verb attached to the angel of the Lord. And his verb tells us that he is in the business of saving, of delivering, of rescuing. So let's look at the word fear. The text says, again, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus, encampeth or sets up camp or sets up his tent round about them that fear him. And yesterday we saw how Jesus is at your house and he's at my house and he's at every Christian's home. Think about all the Christians scattered throughout the world. Think about the Christians in China. China is such a vast country. Think of the Christians in Russia, and think of the Christians in India. Think of the Christians in America. Think of the Christians in Canada. Think of the Christians in Germany and England. All of these Christians. Now, the Lord Jesus, the omnipresent second person of the Holy Trinity, is encamped. He has set up tent at every one of these homes. And not just set up tent, but he has surrounded these homes as providing a hedge of protection. But the homes of whom, you may ask? Well, the text tells us it doesn't call them Christians. It doesn't call them saints, which it could be, but the verse says he encampeth around about them that fear him. Fear. Now, the word fear, the word we talked about before, which produces alarm and panic and trepidation and dread and consternation and dismay and distress and anxiety and worry and apprehension and foreboding. That word fear is not the word here. We have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. This word fear here used in the text about us fearing him, the word fear is the Hebrew verb yare, Y-A-R-E, yare. And this word means to respect those that respect Jesus, those that reverence Jesus, those that esteem Jesus, those that have regard for Jesus, those that honor him, those that have him in high opinion, those who appreciate him. The verb yare, again, means respect, reverence, esteem, regard, appreciate, honor, hold in high opinion. Jesus services those, provides them 24-hour, 7-day-a-week security by providing his personal hedge of protection. He's the hedge. He's the one who sets up camp at your house. He's the one who puts himself as an army of sentinel soldiers all around you and your loved ones. And why does he do it? Because, again, every single moment of every single day, we live our lives respecting him, reverencing him, esteeming him, regarding him, appreciating him, honoring him, and we hold Jesus in the highest opinion. Unlike the world, who has contempt for Jesus. Sister Linda and I, we watch movies on occasions, and we are just appalled as to how the name of Jesus in most of these movies is a curse word. They say JC. Every time they want to curse, they say JC. And it's that is to hold him in contempt, in scorn, in disrespect. They hate Jesus. They abhor Jesus. They disregard Jesus. They loathe him. And by their actions, they slight him. Now, he only services those who fear him. Now, again, the word fear doesn't mean we're afraid of him. How could you be afraid of someone you love? Therefore, the word fear is not afraid, but respect, reverence, esteem, regard, appreciation, honor. And we realize that God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And as such, we hold him in the highest opinion. Unlike the unsaved, who will use his name as a curse word, as a pejorative. We don't do that. We cringe. Sister Linda and I, we cringe when we watch these movies, and 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 times in a movie, they will use Jesus' name as a curse word. We cringe when we hear it. And it's everywhere now. It's in every movie. It's in every movie. They'll advertise the movie as a clean movie, and you'll find that they use Jesus Christ as a curse word. If it's a love story, you'll find that they'll use the name Jesus Christ as a curse word. It could be a Western. Whatever it is, whatever genre of entertainment it is, some way, somehow, the name Jesus Christ winds up getting into the movie as a curse word. That is the ungodly having contempt and scorn and disrespect and hatred and abhorrence and great disregard for our Lord and Savior. To those people who flippantly use his name, He does not protect. He does not deliver. He does not save. Only saves those who fear him, who respect him, who esteem him, who regard him, who appreciate him, who honor him, and who reverence him. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." How many people in society today are extremely knowledgeable in many fields of study, in many of the sciences? How many people are extremely knowledgeable, brilliant, and you can almost classify them as genius? Yet, when it comes to the Lord, they have no reverence for him. They show him no honor, no appreciation, no regard, no esteem, no respect, and as such, they have no true knowledge. For the fear, the yare of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14, we are told of the benefits of living a life where you fear God. Let me read Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. The preacher says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." In other words, he says, let me sum up my sermon. Let me bring you to my conclusion. Here it is. Fear God, respect God, reverence God, esteem God, have regard for God, appreciate God, honor God, and hold God in the highest of opinions. Fear God and do what? And keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty or responsibility or calling of every man and of every woman. That's the whole calling of humanity. Every human being is called to do what? Reverence God and to keep his word. But only the righteous decide to do that. The unrighteous will look at God and look at his commandments and have them in contempt. There are men and women in our society today who loathe God's commandments, hate God, abhor God. But for us, the believer, we fear God and we keep every one of his commandments because we know that this is humanity's calling. All of humanity has this calling. And those who do not fulfill their calling will be in trouble on judgment day, and those who do exactly as the preacher says, they'll be fine on judgment day. For verse 14 says, for God, you can either reverence him or loathe him. For God shall bring every work into judgment or scrutiny, and every secret thing, everything done in the dark, everything done behind closed doors, God will bring it into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The fear of God. So the teacher in Proverbs tells us that the beginning of knowledge is what? The fear of God. That's what the Sunday school teacher is going to be telling us from now until Jesus comes back. Young people, the beginning of knowledge. You want to be knowledgeable in life? Fear God. The preacher tells us, hey, there's a judgment day coming, and God is going to put humanity into two camps. Those that feared him and those that loathe him. And he's going to bring every work into judgment. So notice, Proverbs 1:7 is the beginning of someone's life. Ecclesiastes 12:13 and following is the end of one's life. So you have the beginning and you have the end. But what's in the middle? Well, in the middle, we turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Turn there with me, saints. Job chapter 1. And it starts at verse number 6 and says, Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, or the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, have you considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God. He does what? He respects God. He reverences God. He esteems God. He has regard for God. He appreciates God. He honors him and holds God in the highest opinion. And how do we know he holds God in the highest opinion? Well, he eschews evil. He wants nothing to do with evil. As a man of God, he has his back turned towards evil. And Satan answered the Lord and said, do you think Job respects you for nothing? Do you think he fears you for nothing? Do you think Job reverences you or esteems you or appreciates you or honors you for nothing? Has thou not made a hedge about him? You see, my brothers and sisters, those that fear the Lord have what? A hedge put around them. This is what this text is saying. And in fact, this is what Psalm 34:7 says. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Our hedge of protection is none other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our hedge. So notice, Satan says, listen, do you think Job reverences you for nothing? Job knows the deal. He knows that there are benefits when someone reverences and honors and regards and appreciates and esteems the Lord. He knows that. Why? Because you have put a hedge of protection about his house, and you have blessed him on every side, and you have blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is in the land. I can't get to him. I can't touch him. I can't put my hands on him. I would like to hurt him. I would like to kill him. I would like to do many evil things to him. But he fears you. And because he fears you, the benefit is you have put a hedge between him and me, and I can't touch him. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Satan can't get to you, my brothers and sisters, and this is why you have not one thing to fear. Now, let's go to Job chapter 2, and we know the story. God in chapter 1 gives Satan limited permission to abuse Job, and he does. So in Job chapter 2, verses 1, starting at verse 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said unto him, from going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he hasn't budged. He holds fast his integrity, although you move me against him to destroy him without any cause or without any reason. He still fears me. My brothers and sisters, in the first attack, Job lost it all. And yet, after losing it all, God says, Job still respects me. Job still reverences me. He still esteems me. He still regards me. He still honors me. He still appreciates me. And he still holds me in high opinion. He fears me. Satan, he fears me. I allowed you to strip him of everything, but Job's opinion of me has not changed. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. You know, come hell or high water, will you still worship the Lord? If you were to lose it all today, will you still honor and respect the Lord? Would you be able to say like Job, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord? Would you be able still to do that after losing all? Or will you hold, you know, Job's wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, you still love the Lord. Job, listen to me. I'm your wife. We've lost everything. Why don't you just curse God and die? In other words, she said, why don't you do like the ungodly? Why don't you just hold them in contempt? Why don't you just disrespect him? Why don't you loathe him? Why don't you abhor him? Why don't you hate him? Why don't you disregard him and just die? And Job says, I can't do that. And you shouldn't do that either. Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Verse 18 and 19. Behold, eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Do you, listen, are you, when you're in trouble, are your eyes directed towards God? When you're in trouble, are you looking up to heaven from whence cometh your help? Are you looking up to God for salvation? Because as you look up, he assures you that he's looking down. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that what? That respect him, reverence him, esteem him, regard him, appreciate him, honor him, and hold him in high opinion. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. To do what? To deliver their soul from death, them alive in the midst of the famine. All my brothers and sisters, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. Do you fear him? Then you have nothing to fear. Do you reverence the Lord? Do you honor him? Do you follow him with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul? Are you completely committed to the God of your salvation? If you are, if you fear him, you don't have to dread the devil. You don't have to be afraid of the devil. You don't, listen, fear God and don't fear Satan. Because those who fear God have Jesus encamped round about them. We'll leave it there. We'll come back tomorrow, Saturday, to wrap up this series. God bless you, and don't forget tomorrow's bake sale. Listen, you better beat me to the bake sale because I just might buy everything in sight. There's so many goodies. So make it to the bake sale before Pastor does. God bless you.
You're good in all situations, sir. We want to praise you in our strengths and in our weaknesses. Let your name be honored in all the earth.
From the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of heaven,
your name be
praised.
From the hearts of the
weak,
from the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people,
given us a new song, your song for the broken heart.